Strange Times in New Boston, Nicole Treat, school board candidate interview. Greetings and welcome to the special edition of Strange Times in New Boston. In this episode, I will be interviewing Nicole Treat, candidate for the New Boston School Board. New Boston is blessed with a great local paper, but there is only a limited amount of space the paper can devote to covering candidates. Part of the purpose of this podcast is to provide an area for the long form of discussion better suited to exploring ideas that would never get the depth of coverage they deserve in print. At this time, I have Nicole Treat with me, so I would like the studio audience to welcome our guest. Welcome, Nicole Treat.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's good to have you here.
I'm glad to be here and get a chance to speak.
Well, that's what the podcast is for. So before we get into things, I assume you live in New Boston, is that right?
Yes, I do. I was born and raised in New Boston.
Okay, great. And how long have you lived here?
Pretty much my whole life. The only time I lived outside of New Boston was when I was in college for 4 years. And right after I got married, I was in Manchester for 3 years.
So you have no idea how really great this place is?
I have lots of ideas how really great this place is.
It's a wonderful place. I go back and forth between wanting to tell everyone about it and wanting to tell no one about it. I'm sure it's a common thing. How do you make a living? What do you do for working?
As of right now, I'm a stay-at-home mom transitioning into a small business owner. I just started my own photography business, but have had to move pretty slow with everything because of all that's going on, plus the typical things for kids, school, medical. And then I decided to start my business, and for some reason, I decided to also run for school board.
We'll get into that in a minute. Wow, so you've been here a long time, and sounds like you, stay-at-home mom is one of the toughest jobs I think you can have. My mom was a stay-at-home mom for most of my childhood, and she had it rough. Do you have a family and children?
Yes, I have two kids, a 7-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son, and my husband, and my parents also live with us.
Oh wow, so you've got a full house. Yes. Do you want to give a shout out to the kids?
Sure. Hi, Victoria. Hi, Sage. I'll see you soon.
Now you're on the internet, kids. Is there anything else that you want the listeners to know about yourself, Annie?
Yeah, well, my children are my family's third generation to attend the New Boston School.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been here for a long time.
I had no idea.
I am very happy that my kids get to be a part of this town and the school that I grew up in. It's actually pretty exciting. And I'm surprised I still know some of the teachers and staff at this school from when I was a student. Previous to being a stay-at-home mom, I worked for a company that designed and decorated very intricate candles, mostly for religious celebrations. And I think my skills being the head of our design team will kind of assist in the school board.
Good. Yeah. If you can work with people, that's a good thing. So, you know, you sound like a really sensible person, and you've had the smarts your family has to live in New Boston for three generations. Why on earth would you want to run for the school board?
Well, first, both of my kids are students at the school, and I feel like being a bigger part in that and learning more about how the school works. I also haven't always liked how things have been communicated to parents, and I think there are things that can be clarified or just dealt with in a better manner.
Right. Okay. So you have a special interest in special education then and IEPs. Is that right?
Yeah. Both of my children have IEPs through the school for speech, and my daughter does have a few other things added to her IEP. I have heard our school is pretty well known for how great our special education program, and I would definitely agree in that I would love to continue to support that and keep up our school's reputation. Working side by side with the teachers and the kind of communication you get as a parent with a child within IEP is just amazing. And it would be incredible if we could implement that for all of the children at the school.
Yeah, I really like the option to have an IEP if that's what your child needed. It seems like it's changed. I think the addition of the addition to the school was very helpful in, you know, kind of moving some of the special ed stuff out. I still think we should have bought two, though.
Yeah, I think we're already running out of more space.
Yeah, we should have got two. I remember me from the school board. I said, buy two. Okay, enough about ancient history. So the school consumes the bulk of the taxes and is the primary asset of the town. Where do you stand on funding education?
Our school is 65% of our town's taxes, and that is really high. But I am pro-education funding. The education of our children are really important, and I think that there are some other things that we could probably look into in order to try and lower the taxes.
Yeah. As somebody who wanted to see the taxes reduced, every effort I've seen has just fallen apart, and it's too bad. But do you have any ideas about where cost savings might be achieved?
I don't have a concrete plan, and I hope to look more into the school's budget and expenses to figure something out that may help in reducing the costs. But right now, I think revisiting some of the vendor costs possibly and doing some research for other possible vendors and seeing what other extras we may be able to reduce even just partially could help us in the long run.
Okay. The rising cost of education, which seems completely tied to our population and lacking any commercial tax base, it's sad to see the old folks forced to sell and move out of our community because the taxes have exceeded what their fixed income can afford. Even if they get a good price for their property, it'd be nice to see people on fixed incomes able to live out their days in the community they helped to build. Rising education taxes affects more than just workers, wouldn't you agree?
I 100% agree. It affects a lot more than just the workers. Not that I have a fixed income, but just my family having one consistent job and then a business startup cost takes a lot out of us. I can't imagine having a set amount and panicking every time I see prices and taxes increase. We rent in town and I would love to buy a home, but right now it just wouldn't work for us for those reasons.
Good market to sell, bad market to buy. Sorry for that. Do you think there is hope for the student and the taxpayer to be at peace?
I hope so, but in all seriousness, I think there may be things that have possibly been overlooked. I am hoping we can find those, if there are any, and make it happen. Although I know I can't make any promises, I will try my hardest.
That's very good of you. So I have to ask about masks and COVID. It's a topic in the news. So have you had COVID?
Yes. Right before Thanksgiving this past year, my entire household had COVID. My daughter did test negative the whole time, but I think she just went through it really fast compared to the rest of us in that sense. People can test positive up to 90 days after having it.
Yeah, it's a strange thing in that if you've had it and they don't catch it when you've got it, then you don't necessarily show up on the tests afterwards. So what do you think of the masking policies at New Boston Central School and SAU 19?
I find it very confusing. I do wish the whole SAU could be on the same page, but that's not the case. I have heard parents not really knowing what to do for their kids, myself included, and I have heard many parents complain about the teachers not all being on the same page either. It just doesn't seem like people understand it fully, and it is tough because it seems to change every few days.
Yeah, I found it confusing as well. Do you think masks are effective at stopping the spread of COVID?
I don't find them very effective, actually. We have been universally masked for the majority of this school year, and it still seems to spread fairly easily. Also, comparing numbers with Goffstown's Maple Ave Elementary School, which has been mask optional the whole time, there isn't that great of a difference in case numbers.
Yeah, I'm still voting for the Swedish model where we don't shut down at all, but I think it's a little late for that now. If you are elected to the board, will you sustain the policy of mandatory masking?
No, I would like to make it parents' choice.
Oh, that's
go optional for that.
That sounds like a free decision for free people. You know, I think the science is pretty clear at this point. We have a leaky vaccine, and what I mean by that is that an inoculated individual can still catch and transmit the virus even if they don't get very sick from it. Children are the least affected of any demographic, and given that you are really going to have to look in the data to find children who died from COVID in the U.S. that weren't already profoundly ill, keeping all that in mind, do you think we can return, at least the kids, to some kind of normalcy safely?
I do believe we can go back to normal life. It seems like the COVID pandemic is changing into the COVID endemic pretty quickly here, so I'm hopeful that will happen sometime soon.
Yeah, I think endemic is the word for COVID now. We've got a new disease, we made it ourselves, and that's too bad. Do you think there are any health implications for children if we don't return them to an unmasked condition?
Yes, I do. I don't believe it's just physical health effects, but there are those as well. I think there will be a lot of long-term mental health effects, not only because of anxiety and fear, but I feel like a lot of people became really aggressive on both sides of the mass debate, and I am sure children witnessed this, and it either created more anxiety or fear of retaliation for them. This one argument has caused so many broken relationships between family, friends, neighbors, and just broken communities in general.
No doubt. I think in 100 years, people are going to look back on this as craziness. Do you think this issue has been manipulated for political reasons? Just 2 years ago, a certain group of people said they would not trust any vaccine developed by the previous administration. Now the same group supports jailing and denying services to people who remain unvaccinated. Do you find that ironic?
I find it sad. I do see political reasons for a lot of the people making the argument. Not all, but there are definitely quite a few. And I think that is a very narrow view for something that causes illness and affects so many families. I really disagree with people being denied services and medical assistance because of their own choice for their own body. It doesn't make sense to me because previous to this, everyone was fighting to have the rights for their own body in other political arguments. I understand the fear people have, but people's bodies are their own.
Yeah, I think 2 years ago we didn't know what we were dealing with, and today we have a pretty good idea. So moving along, let's talk about critical race theory and racist ideologies. So there's been a controversy over and this is a long title, so give me, just get ready. The Right to Freedom from Discrimination in Public Workspaces and Education is a section in House Bill 2 from 2021. This bill started life as House Bill 544, sponsored by New Boston's own Representative Keith Ammon, but died on the table in the House. The essential idea, however, was picked up by the Senate and ultimately added to House Bill 2 and passed as part of that legislation. You know, my first thought on seeing the text of this legislation was disbelief that this wasn't already illegal, that the state might want the power to teach or instruct one group that they were inherently inferior or superior is sobering.
I do find it very disturbing that it is saying everywhere that it should not be taught, that someone based off of a certain aspect is better or worse than another in a workplace, but it is okay for it to be taught that way in school to children. Won't that create a bigger problem? No one is superior or inferior to another person, and it should definitely not be taught that that's the case to children.
Great. So let me make sure I understand you. Are you saying that the state should not be able to instruct state employees and children in theories of racial superiority? Really? What kind of world are you suggesting we live in?
A crazy one.
Apparently so. Okay, so moving along, another topic in education today is New Hampshire Education Freedom Accounts. These are accounts that allow a family making 300% or less of the poverty line to direct some of their child's state education funding to pay for tuition at the school of their choice. Thus, a poor family at an underperforming inner city school would be free to transport their child to somewhere with a more illustrious academic record, such as New Boston. Do you find that allowing poor families to escape from failing schools is a problem?
No, I don't find it an issue at all. Going somewhere for a better education will give them more tools to use to move on from their current status.
All right, wait, so are you sure you wouldn't rather force poor families to stay in failing schools?
No, I wouldn't.
So I guess you're going on the record then as not hating poor people?
Right. I don't hate them.
That's bold. Good for you. Now, this is the special section of the interview where I really grill you. I have two special questions that might or might not be from members of my family. I ask a certain sixth grader, what should I ask people running for school board? And he responded with, how far away is the sun? Don't worry, I will punish him later for his impertinence. It must come from his mother's side. Do you have any response?
Yes, 93 million miles away.
Wow, that is great. I will have one impressed youngster in my house tonight. Now, I asked my wife what people running for school board I should ask them, and she responded with, what is your bedtime? An obvious reference to her displeasure at the long hours some school board meetings consumed. Any response?
Usually around 9, but I am a night owl, so it's pretty often that I stay up much later.
Okay, you're gonna be staying up late if you win the seat on the school board.
Definitely.
So finally now, is there anything you would like to say directly to the good citizens of New Boston?
Sure. I am Nicole Treat, running for school board here in New Boston. My goal is supporting and advocating for our children. I want to open up dialogue with parents and teachers, hear their concerns and thoughts, and work together to keep our school doing amazing things for its students.
That's great. That's great. Well, thank you, Nicole Treat, for joining us today. Remember, listeners, that all that is required for evil to prosper is for good people to do nothing. Don't forget to vote on March 8th, 2022. I will say that again. Vote on Tuesday, March 8th, 2022. Vote for the kids. If you have any comments or questions about the podcast, please send them to me at Strange Times in New Boston, all one word, at hushmail.com. Live free or die.